Right now, companies all over the globe are just quietly abandoning some of the biggest, most established software platforms on the market.
Yeah, they really are.
Like they're just walking away from these ready-made solutions, and instead they're choosing to build their internal systems completely from scratch.
It's a massive shift.
It is. I mean, the custom software development market is in the middle of this huge stampede. It's projected to grow at a compound annual growth rate of 22.6%.
Wow.
From 2025 to 2030, 22.6% every single year.
It's honestly a staggering amount of capital being redirected. I mean,
Yeah.
we're watching a fundamental shift in how complex organizations, think about their digital infrastructure.
Exactly. And the reason for this exodus, well, that's what we're focusing on today.
Right.
We are doing a deep dive into a really comprehensive blueprint from the software development experts at Sergopic. And it details how and why companies are building scalable customer relationship management systems, or CRMs.
Yeah, the custom CRM is really having a moment.
It totally is. And, whether you're a founder who's actively trying to scale a business without, breaking your operations.
Or a revenue leader trying to untangle a really messy, chaotic sales pipeline.
Right, exactly. Or maybe you're simply, the kind of learner who just loves understanding the mechanics of how complex organizations solve their most expensive bottlenecks without getting bogged down in jargon.
Yeah.
If that's you, this deep dive is tailored specifically for you.
Because we are going to look at the anatomy of these systems, the development philosophy, and this is the big one, the hidden traps that can turn a multi-$1,000 investment into a complete failure.
Yeah, no one wants that. So, okay, let's unpack this because CRMs really are the hidden engines of modern business, right?
Oh, absolutely. They dictate how fast a company can actually move.
Right. But before we get into the actual architecture of a custom build, we have to address that 22.6% growth metric.
Yeah, that's a big number.
It's huge. Why are so many businesses deciding that off-the-shelf software tools built by massive tech giants specifically to help companies grow are suddenly the exact things, like choking their growth?
Well, what's fascinating here is the core philosophy driving this shift.
Okay.
It's the realization that off-the-shelf software eventually forces a business to adapt its proprietary workflows to the software, not the other way around.
Right. So the software isn't adapting to the team.
Exactly. I mean, in the early days of a business, a standard CRM is great. It's highly efficient.
Sure.
But as a company scales, its processes become unique. And that uniqueness is often, well, it's their competitive advantage.
Right. That makes sense.
So when you use a generic system, you inevitably hit this wall where you have to compromise your ideal process just to make the software function.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the infrastructure issues you see in those ancient cities trying to
Oh,
modernize.
yeah, definitely.
Like buying an off-the-shelf CRM for a complex business is a lot like trying to route a modern high-speed rail system through like a medieval street grid.
That is a great way to put it.
Right, like you can lay the tracks, but you constantly have to slow the trains down, make these bizarre detours, and just compromise the speed of the whole network just to fit the existing rigid boundaries.
Yeah, it's incredibly inefficient.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas buying a custom CRM, it's bespoke. It's like a custom tailored suit that just moves perfectly with your body. You design the transit hubs and the rails together from the ground up, optimized purely for velocity.
That captures the friction perfectly, honestly, because the off-the-shelf model often leads to what developers call a Frankenstack.
A Frankenstack.
Yeah, a Frankenstack.
Yeah.
It's when a company realizes their standard CRM lacks a specific feature, so they bolt on three different third-party applications using API connectors.
Oh, I've seen that. It gets messy.
It gets so messy. Suddenly you have data syncing delays, redundant data entry, and these really fragile integrations that just break every time one of those third-party apps updates its code.
A nightmare.
It is. A custom CRM eliminates that entirely by aligning seamlessly with your most complex native business processes.
I want to drill into that complexity for a second, especially for highly regulated industries, because the Scopic blueprint mentions healthcare, finance, real estate, and manufacturing as like prime candidates for custom builds.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's take the healthcare provider example. I mean, the sheer density of their data ingestion is completely different from a standard business just tracking a sales lead.
Fundamentally different. Yeah. I mean, a healthcare provider system cannot just rely on a simple database of names and phone numbers.
Right.
They need a unified architecture that handles unstructured data like, say, an oncologist's custom notes, right alongside highly structured data, like insurance billing codes.
Wow, yeah, that's a lot.
It is. A custom system allows a single action, like a doctor updating a chart, to simultaneously trigger an automated billing workflow, update the secure patient portal, schedule a follow-up, and cross-reference drug interactions.
All at the same time. And doing all of that while maintaining strict HIPAA compliance regarding, you know, who has permission to view which specific data fields.
Precisely. Standard software simply cannot bridge patient communication APIs with rigid legacy billing systems without creating massive security vulnerabilities or operational blind spots.
Right.
Now, just to be clear, if your operational model is highly linear, like a boutique e-commerce brand just selling a direct-to-consumer product, then a standard CRM is still the logical choice.
Okay, that's fair.
The complexity just isn't there to justify a custom build.
But the moment that e-commerce brand introduces complex wholesale distribution or international supply chains or, you know, multi-tiered customer support, they hit that tipping point. Which brings us to the actual construction. Because if an organization decides they need to build their own high-speed rail network, starting from absolute zero sounds paralyzing.
Could be very intimidating, yeah.
But the blueprint outlines a meticulous planning phase, starting with goal setting, though it warns heavily against vague objectives.
Yes. Vague objectives are the number one cause of project failure.
Really? Number one?
Oh, yeah. You cannot hand a development partner a brief that just says, you know, we want to streamline operations.
Right. What does that even mean?
Exactly. It provides zero architectural direction.
Right.
You must define measurable, concrete outcomes based on the operational friction you are actually experiencing.
So instead of streamline, the goal needs to be something like automate the lead qualification handoff to reduce response time from 4 hours to under 5 minutes.
Yes. That is an engineering target. Developers can actually build a database query around that.
Right.
And once you have those concrete targets, you move into workflow mapping. And this step requires just ruthless honesty from the organization.
Ruthless honesty? How so?
Well, you have to map every single trigger, action, dependency, and data handoff from the very first buying signal to the final closed deal.
Okay, this is where I always see companies stumble. Because they map out how the process should work in theory, according to management.
Oh, absolutely. They map the idealized version.
Right. But they completely ignore the shadow IT happening on the ground.
The shadow IT, yes.
Like the reality that the marketing team is secretly using a rogue spreadsheet to track campaign leads and then manually uploading them to the CRM on Fridays?
Yep. Happens all the time.
If you don't map that hidden spreadsheet workflow, you are just going to build a brand new system with the exact same blind spots.
That is a phenomenal point. You have to interview the actual end users, not just the executives.
Right.
Once you have a brutally honest map of those workflows, the blueprint dictates moving to step three, which is defining the minimum viable product, or MVP.
The MVP, okay.
This involves identifying the absolute most critical features that deliver immediate value, things like core contact management and basic workflow automation.
Right.
And you deploy only those essential features first.
See, I have to push back on this MVP approach a little bit, especially for a massive enterprise-level company.
Okay, go ahead.
If you roll out an MVP to a sales team of, like, 500 people who are used to a feature-rich, even if it's clunky legacy platform, aren't they just going to revolt?
It's a common fear, yeah.
Right, like handing them a stripped-down, unfinished tool seems like a great way to guarantee they just refuse to adopt the new software.
Well, this raises an important question, and it really addresses a major misconception about software deployment.
Okay.
An MVP in custom enterprise development is not an unfinished product. It's not a buggy beta test.
It's not.
No. It is the simplest version containing only the essential features needed for early user testing. You aren't giving them a broken tool. You are giving them a flawlessly executed solution to their single most painful bottleneck.
Oh, I see. So if the biggest complaint from the sales floor is that reps spend 2 hours a day doing manual data entry for lead routing,
right?
The MVP focuses purely on automating that specific routing mechanism flawlessly.
Yes. You give them a system that instantly eliminates 2 hours of administrative drudgery from their day.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, they would love that.
Exactly. By isolating and solving that high-friction process first, you prove the value and achieve instant user buy-in. They experience the velocity of the new system immediately.
Right.
And this allows your development team to test the core architectural stability under real-world stress before layering on complex features like forecasting modules, or custom reporting dashboards.
Okay, that reframes the MVP entirely for me. It's almost like a psychological tool for user adoption just as much as it is a technical testing phase.
It really is.
But deploying that MVP triggers another massive challenge, right?
Always does.
When you automate workflows and speed up the sales cycle, the sheer volume of data moving through the system multiplies rapidly.
Exponentially, yeah.
So you solve the bottleneck, but now you have a fire hose of data hitting the CRM. How do you prevent the new system from simply buckling under its own success?
Well, that is the defining engineering challenge of our era, and it brings us to scalability.
Right, scalability.
Scalability is not a feature you add later. It's the fundamental physics of how the software is written from day one.
Yeah.
If the architecture cannot handle exponential increases in data velocity, the entire system collapses.
Right. And the Scopic blueprint solves this by mandating a modular architecture combined with cloud infrastructure.
Exactly.
And here's where it gets really interesting, because modular architecture completely changes how a business views its software. It's basically like playing with Legos.
I love that analogy.
Right. Think about a high-end commercial kitchen in a massive restaurant. If the restaurant suddenly gets overwhelmingly popular and the grill station is constantly backed up, the owners don't tear down the entire building to construct a new restaurant.
Of course not.
They just expand the ventilation, upgrade the gas lines to that specific corner, and install a second grill at that modular station, leaving the prep areas and the refrigeration units completely untouched.
That is exactly how microservices and modular architecture function.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of building a monolithic application where all the code is tightly intertwined, developers build the CRM as a collection of smaller, manageable, independent modules.
Like Legos.
Like Legos. You have a module for email automation, a module for billing, a module for analytics.
Okay.
So if your marketing campaign goes viral and you suddenly have 10,000 new leads hitting the system in an hour, you only need to scale the computing resources for the lead ingestion module.
Wow.
The rest of the CRM operates normally without any latency.
And leveraging cloud infrastructure is what allows you to scale those specific modules instantly, right?
Exactly.
Because we aren't just talking about storing files off-site here. We are talking about elastic computing. The cloud dynamically assigns more processing power to the lead ingestion module during the traffic spike, and then automatically spins those resources back down when the spike ends.
Which is huge for cost savings.
Right, because you're only paying for the compute power you actually use.
That elasticity is crucial. However, achieving that modular flexibility requires immense discipline during the build phase. The blueprint issues a really severe warning against accumulating technical debt.
Oh man, technical debt. Right. It's the silent killer of custom software.
It really is.
The trap I always see is a scenario where, you know, the VP of sales demands a highly customized forecasting dashboard by the end of the quarter.
Right, the deadline pressure.
Yep. So to hit the deadline, the developers just take shortcuts. They hard code the dashboard directly into the database, completely bypassing the API gateways and the modular structure we just talked about.
Which ruins the code quality.
Exactly. It works beautifully for the quarter. The VP is happy. But a year later, the company wants to migrate to a new database structure, and they can't. That monolithic code the developers wrote to save a week now prevents the entire system from evolving.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, technical debt is essentially taking out a high-interest loan on your software.
A high-interest loan, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, the short-term speed sacrifices long-term adaptability.
Mm-hmm.
When developers skip proper API documentation or tightly couple modules that should be independent, they degrade the underlying foundation.
Right.
And refactoring that messy code later is often way more expensive than the initial build.
Which means relying heavily on the expertise of your development partners to protect the integrity of the tech stack.
Yes, the tech stack is everything.
We're talking about the foundational technologies, the front-end frameworks, the back-end languages, the databases, the APIs. The specific stack dictates whether your CRM can handle, say, real-time data for instant messaging, or if it's limited to clunky batch processing.
The tech stack dictates the absolute ceiling of your system's performance. And this leads directly into the testing protocols.
Okay.
Enterprise-grade testing is far more than verifying that a submit button works. It involves aggressive penetration testing for security vulnerabilities, load testing to simulate thousands of concurrent users, and strict compliance verification to ensure data integrity.
And sitting on top of that rigorously tested stack are the actual features. The blueprint lists non-negotiables like mobile accessibility and role-based user permissions, but the absolute vanguard of custom development right now is AI integration.
Oh, without a doubt. Artificial intelligence is fundamentally transforming what a CRM is capable of doing.
It really is.
In fact, the source material includes a highly relevant quote from Fortune Business Insights. They state, and I quote, AI-driven chatbots, predictive analytics, and personalized recommendations are becoming standard features, enabling businesses to streamline operations and enhance customer experiences.
I want to focus on predictive analytics for a second, because there is a massive difference between how an off-the-shelf CRM uses AI and how a custom CRM uses it.
Huge difference.
Right. A generic AI might look at a lead's email open rates and just suggest they are warm.
Right. Very basic.
But a custom AI, built specifically for your bespoke system, can cross-reference those email open rates with your proprietary operations data. It can realize that the client is only opening emails because their last three shipments were delayed.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And instead of prompting a sales rep to pitch an upsell, it automatically routes that client to an executive support tier to prevent churn.
That is the real power of owning your unique data structure. The AI is analyzing your specific operational reality, uncovering hidden causality between isolated departments.
Incredible.
But, you know, engineering that level of bespoke intelligence requires a significant investment.
Let's talk about the financial reality of this, because the blueprint does provide clear parameters regarding costs and timelines.
It does. For a baseline custom CRM focusing on core sales workflows and standard integrations development, typically spans a few months, with costs ranging from $20,000 to $50,000.
Okay, $20,000 to $50,000. For a growing mid-market company, that capital expenditure is quickly offset by the reduction in software licensing fees and the sheer increase in operational speed.
Absolutely. However, for large-scale enterprise solutions requiring complex legacy system integrations, advanced AI predictive modeling, and stringent regulatory compliance architectures,
right,
development timelines routinely extend beyond 6 months, and budgets can easily exceed $150,000.
Wow. Okay, yeah. That scale of investment is exactly why the Blueprint emphasizes partnering with an established firm capable of providing long-term support. It highlights Scopic's 20-plus years of experience in custom software engineering.
Because launching the software is just day one. You need a partner to navigate the roadblocks that inevitably derail these massive projects. We've discussed technical debt and the danger of scope creep, where people just endlessly request new features.
Yeah, scope creep is brutal.
It is, but there's one specific roadblock the text mentions that destroys more CRM rollouts than anything else.
And what's that?
Data migration. Moving your historical data into the new system.
Okay, I have a question about this, because the blueprint mentions data migration difficulties, but isn't moving all your old customer data into a pristine new CRM kind of like moving to a beautiful new house, but bringing all your actual trash with you?
Yes.
Like, how do businesses avoid just migrating a massive mess?
It is a critical vulnerability. You can build the most elegant, modular, AI-driven architecture in the world, but if you migrate incomplete, duplicated, or unstructured legacy data into it, the entire system is instantly compromised.
It's the old garbage in, garbage out rule.
Exactly. I mean, your legacy data is full of impurities.
Yeah.
Sales reps entering names differently, missing email addresses, conflicting client histories spread across all those outdated spreadsheets.
Right.
If you simply export that data and inject it into the new database, the predictive analytics we just discussed will generate completely false insights based on garbage inputs.
So what's the solution?
The solution, as detailed in the blueprint, is executing a comprehensive data audit prior to migration.
Okay, so you have to clean it up before you move it.
Exactly that.
Fair.
A rigorous data audit involves deduping records, standardizing naming conventions, archiving obsolete data, and establishing strict data validation rules.
Right.
You guarantee that only pristine, structurally sound information enters the new architecture, ensuring the new system starts with clean, reliable insights.
You ensure the new CRM starts its life with perfect clarity.
Yes.
Wow. It requires an incredible amount of discipline at every single stage. So let's sort of synthesize this entire journey for the listener.
Yep.
We started with the realization that off-the-shelf software, which was originally adopted to help you grow, eventually becomes the very straitjacket restricting your growth.
And then we moved into the necessity of replacing vague ambitions with hyper-specific operational goals and strictly defining an MVP.
Right. An MVP that actually solves the biggest bottleneck. Then we explored how to build it to last using Lego-like modularity in the cloud to avoid the paralyzing effects of tech debt.
Finally, we examined the critical importance of a robust tech stack, integrating AI, and the absolute necessity of doing a data audit to avoid injecting garbage data into your new system.
It really is a monumental undertaking, but the strategic advantage is undeniable.
It's the difference between renting someone else's operational process and owning your own. For you listening, whether you are a developer architecting a massive system, a sales leader, or simply someone looking to optimize your own personal workflows, the core lesson here is pretty profound. Systems must be built around how you actually work, not the other way around. Technology should be designed to amplify your unique velocity, not constrain it to a generic standard.
That is perfectly said. So what does this all mean?
Good question.
We started by talking about the friction of forcing complex human workflows into rigid, standard software. But as we look toward the horizon of custom modular architecture seamlessly integrated with bespoke AI, the paradigm shifts entirely.
It really does.
I mean, if we are actively building custom CRMs to perfectly mirror our unique business workflows, and AI is increasingly integrated to uncover patterns, run predictive analytics, and automate tasks, how long until the custom CRM evolves from simply a tool that helps manage customer relationships to a central nervous system that autonomously runs the entire business for you?
Wow. No, that is a profound thought to leave them with.
I think so, too. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Keep examining the architecture of the systems you rely on every day, and we'll catch you next time.